Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And we are going to talk about little.
Little.
Which is the opposite of big.
And I mean, I don't know that at one point like this existed as the sequel to Big, but if it did, I would genuinely not be surprised. Like, in the same way that you had those... The 80s comedies, like you had Crocodile Dundee 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one was just the inverse of what happened in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of those where you would take your premise and you would just flip-flop it.
Right.
Beverly Hills Cop, like you take a Detroit cop and, you know, you put him in. Like, whereas it, like all of the sequels, like to those really popular comedies, would just take it and flip-flop it. Here more recently, you have seen... sequels to movies that either they disavow any of the, like Halloween, mm-hmm. very recently, because there's, you know, 17 Halloween movies. But according to that movie, now the last 30 years of Halloween movies, they didn't exist. The first one exists, and now this one. What the way this movie felt to me is, I don't know, maybe at one point Penny Marshall was saying, okay, we need to do a sequel.
Oh, was she behind this before she passed?
No. I'm saying, like, if at some point this movie existed with them going, okay, now the kid, is it Josh? I believe is his name from Big. That sounds right.
Sure.
Josh Baskin, I want to say was the name.
Whatever the
Tom Hanks character.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this was that character and he had become... very like he was no longer childlike, kind of the mm-hmm. the Hook scenario mm-hmm. where Robin Williams is no longer Peter Pan, that this was that character. He no longer has that childlike sense of wonder. He is a grown man now, and he has a scenario maybe with Zoltar that they said, okay, now you're going to go back to being a kid. And for whatever reason, either, you know, like Penny Marshall passed, Tom Hanks is like, okay, if Penny's not doing it, like I'm not into it. Like I don't know if y'all know this, but I have bags of money. Literally. Did you see that Netflix movie Ben Affleck was in where he's ripping money out of the walls? That is literally what it's like at my house. I don't have to do a sequel to Big. I don't have to do anything for the rest of my life. I'm not going to do that.
I wonder what that feels like.
I would not know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I mean, honestly, that's what this movie felt like. But like I said, you couldn't get any of the original players, but it's a solid premise
mm-hmm.
for a movie. You have an adult that is just, they are so disconnected from that child they used to be. And like, they were a child that, you know, they had that wonder, like they were interested in this, like they were passionate. But at some point, like, you know, as a teenager, as like an early adult, like it got killed somewhere and they just became this bloodthirsty like adult. And like, I mean, I know people like that to a certain degree. I'm not, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are, I'm not the child at heart that I used to be. I'm more than like beyond excited for Avengers later this weekend. So obviously I haven't completely disconnected from my childlike sense of wonder, but they ring that premise. And like I said, it feels very much like a sequel to Big, mm-hmm. but has the director, the writer, like the actor, none of that. Like they don't even have, they don't even have like a side character.
A magical keyboard?
No, like no. Zoltar's not, no. Just like, what's up, guys? Huh?
Well, I did watch the trailer and I was hoping this is the one you're going to see. Because I'm a moron, I do not recall the actress's name, but she is the one who plays the younger version, the teen.
The younger girl.
She is on Blackish. And
That's where I know her from.
She is one of the twins on Blackish, and she is brilliant.
One of the pulls I was going to make from this, and like if you've heard me talk about like child actors before, I am not just blindly enthusiastic about them. There are a lot of child actors out there that are, and I'm going to put this mildly because they're children. They're not talented.
Yeah.
It may be because of the lack of experience. They don't have, you know, 20 years in the mm-hmm. business underneath their belt or whatever, but they're not They're not charismatic. I mean, occasionally,
not everyone's Shirley Temple.
You get a kid like Haley Joel Osment had distinctly talent, and you could see that from a very early, Macaulay Culkin in the Home Alone, the first two Home Alone movies. Like there was a definitive like magnetism to those kids. Not every kid
and
possesses
yet,
that.
I'll venture to say, other than being attractive, Leo didn't have a. I didn't expect Leonardo DiCaprio to go from child actor to monumental actor.
I'm going to go ahead and say that I called it in the seventh season of Growing Pains. I was like, this man will become Martin Scorsese's new Robert De Niro. He will do a string of... I'd never said that. No.
I didn't see it. It's just he can deliver the line.
I think the first time I remember thinking that there was something... I want to say it was... What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Mm-hmm. I believe it's a Johnny. He was in a movie with Johnny Depp. Right. I haven't seen it in years, but like, yeah, the first time I saw him in Growing Pains, I really wasn't just like, this is my son in whom I am well. Yes, mm-hmm. You shall lead us into the future.
Well, this girl, whose name I should just Google but haven't, she's been great from the very first season of Blackish, which was at least 5 years ago. So she's a young teenager, and she's got incredible timing. And
she doesn't solely like have this film on her shoulders, but I would say she splits it pretty evenly with mm-hmm. her co-lead. And like again, there are some child actors that I'm just like, wow, we couldn't have got anybody better. There wasn't someone out there that was just a little bit more, you know, funny or mm-hmm. charismatic or what's the word, talented? No? Okay. You know, you put the weight of the budget on them. That was your idea? Okay. All right. Okay, buddy. Good.
I'm going to not be a jerk and actually find out what her name is because she really is just that good.
I actually kind of miss fit like for Every decade seems to have like its set of comedy. Like you'll see like kind of the, and in the 80s, you had to have that really like interesting, solid premise, kind of your springboard. And it was more about the gimmick necessarily. Like in the late like 90s, like gross out humor, like R-rated, you know, comedies where like you did some taboo things. They became very popular. In the 80s, it was all about your print, like Short Circuit. Mm-hmm. You have a robot that is learning to be a human and hilarity ensues. With Big, Tom Hanks is a man who is a boy trapped in the adult body.
Right.
And hilarity ensues. Ghostbusters, I think the premise is just Bill Murray is in it, and that really should be enough to sell you on any comedy. Like without me using any more words to describe it, just go Bill Murray, and they'll just go, "Oh, yes, we're in." And I'm like, "But I haven't told you what it's about. It's a sequel to Jaws, and he plays Jaws."
Her last name is Martin, but I'm not positive as to how her first name is pronounced. It could be Marcy. It could be Marseille. It could be Marsan. It's Marsai.
Marseille.
But anyway, and she is from Texas.
I've been mispronouncing it all these years.
Yes.
I've just been saying Texas.
Texas. Yes, that's
what,
exactly.
Do you use like a tilde over something to denote high pitched?
It's just,
like,
you just have to know.
Singing? Okay.
You just have to know. Anyway, she's
I'm not
very
from the country
talented.
Of Texas, so I don't know.
There you go. She's real good.
What's the native language there?
They speak Texish.
Okay. All right. I think I knew that. Yeah. That sounds right.
So just from watching the trailer, it looked entertaining to me, but not the kind of movie where I have to go and spend extra money to see it in the theater, unless, of course, I have the AMC
whatchamajigger,
A-list.
Unless I have the A-list. Named yes. For me, the Adam List.
Mm-hmm. So
I believe is what...
It looked like a movie I would be thrilled and delighted to go, oh, that's on Netflix, let's watch it. And be happy with it.
It is a fun movie. I chuckled several times at it. It is not like the comic event of the decade. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't rewrite the rules, you know. It's not a cinematic landmark.
It did what it was supposed to do.
But it entertained me for 2 hours. And I mean, at the end of the day, as much as I dump on movies that like don't like take you to new and wonderful heights. At the end of the day, as long as you make your money, you're entertaining, that's really all you have to do.
True that. And I forgot to check their box office take.
I want to say Shazam was still, unless I'm thinking of a, Shazam was still number one, but it was like just underneath it. Shazam passed, I want to say, the $100 million mark. And like, that's not as significant as say like Batman versus Superman doing it $160 million in its first 3 days. But they also spent a significant amount less on the production of Shazam. And worldwide, I want to say it's somewhere around $300 million, $257 million, something like that.
Well, worldwide, Little has made over $34 million, and it's probably already made back its budget.
I can't imagine, like, at the, and I'm talking about, like, the ceiling, like, if this thing costs more than $50, $60 million, I'd be genuinely surprised. Mm-hmm. Like, it's probably lower than that, but, like I said, top of it.
So,
this film should have no trouble making its money back.
Right. And it, if Shazam hadn't been so good, it would have been number one this weekend. But Shazam is hilarious.
Well, I mean, and this is honestly, this is a good time to release movies. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to get too much competition. Like, out of, I mean, can you think of a major release that, like, hit in, what was it, March?
No. I'm already annoyed at the people who don't know what Avengers Endgame is, or even when I just say Endgame, don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, where have you been?
My wife does not enjoy superhero movies. It's probably because I inundate her with them endlessly. Because, like, when I'm not watching them at the theater, like,
well, you have to talk about them.
Well, I'm saying I also watch every superhero show on the CW.
Yeah.
I watched The Gifted on Fox before they canceled it. I watched all of them on net. So, like, it's really hard to. I have a Superman and a Batman tattoo on my body. Obviously, it
and
is.
And he's wearing a Hulk T-shirt.
So. It has permeated into my mind. Maybe I've made her sick. Of superheroes, I could have something.
There's no such thing.
I'm possibly. Possibly.
Did she go see Shazam with you?
No, no.
See, I think she would enjoy that.
Well, she did go see Batman versus Superman with me and X-Men Apocalypse, and
I don't see her loving those.
She didn't. I can tell you conclusively that she didn't.
Did she see Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, we weren't. We weren't dating yet. I think it's kind of, it's that thing that the boys are always watching with, like, me. Like, the same way that I look at, like, Pokemon. Like, I was working at an after-school program, and the kids would fight over, like, the Game Boys and stuff, and I'd have to take them up. So, like, I don't have a positive experience. She didn't grow up reading, you know, comic books and, like, watching the cartoons because she was a girl, and she did girl things.
And you are listening to Parental Guidance Suggested Movie Reviews, all brought to you from high atop the Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry Podcast Center. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens. Well, that's really no excuse.
I'm breaking her in with Batman versus Superman and X-Men.
It was a misstep on
X-Men
your part.
Apocalypse. Going into those, I didn't know that they were not. If I had to do it over,
it'd be like breaking her in with Star Trek Insurrection.
I would have let her in with either Aquaman or Wonder Woman on that front, or X-Men Days of Future Past.
Adam, ball dropped.
Or Deadpool. But listen, hindsight's 20/20. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I had to make that choice. I kept waiting. When will the children talk? When can I show them movies that I actually want to see? When can I spring Star Trek on them? When can I do this? Because I didn't want to turn them off. Very,
and you have
very
to be
difficult.
Careful about how you give them that first. Like, I went with the Abrams movies to get the boys into Star Trek. Because, I mean, they are not the heady morality plays that the 60s Star Trek tended to be. And I think, you know, Star Trek exists well as a television show, but those movies are very action-oriented. Mm-hmm. And, like, even if you're not into, you know the betterment of mankind or in the future we have not, like, they're shooting people with phasers a lot in those movies. A lot of the heady material is lost in Into Darkness, mm-hmm. beyond in Star Trek 2009. So I figured that's the best place. You know, let them get interested in it, and then maybe kind of shift them into, you know, DS9, mm-hmm. TNG, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very difficult to brainwash you
have
properly.
Listen, I'm just saying, like anything else, you have to be careful about how you do it. It's like a good, you know, souffle or a cake. Like, you have to be careful about the ingredients you use. You have to be careful about, you know, how long you let it heat
not
or
everybody
simmer.
Everybody likes souffle. Everybody likes cake.
I'm donkey. Again, Shrek, people don't like onions.
Speaking of that, I'd forgotten how much that was prominent in I Am Legend, which is on Netflix, which I watched again for no apparent reason.
Donkey? Eddie Murphy
Shrek.
As donkey.
And Will Smith sang the donkey lines.
Well, it has been a couple of years since I've seen it.
Well, it's on Netflix now, so by all means, watch it. And don't say, hey, here's this really cool post-apocalyptic movie with a German Shepherd in it. The German Shepherd lives. Doesn't. I'd totally forgotten that part of the movie.
Somebody had pointed out, like, he lives for 7 years with just him and the dog. The moment that he meets the potential romantic love interest, just all goes to... All goes.
Yeah. No. At the moment after he talked to the mannequins. Oh, it's fresh in my mind.
Okay, I was gonna. Well, listen, you're about 11 years like fresher than me right now.
Oh yeah.
I think I saw it in the theater. Maybe I watched it when it came out again on like home video. Mm-hmm. But I have not revisited it in a long time.
Having just revisited it, I want you to revisit it because I want to know why they did not explore why all of a sudden the
he's not just constantly saying, oh, hell no?
No. The okay. infected people, the infected zombie people now had a leader emerge. That ain't right. Anyway.
That ain't right.
I want to hear more about that. Anywho, the dog does, you know, yeah, he has to kill his own dog because of the zombie dogs.
That was not my favorite part of the movie.
No, and you know, like, I had forgotten that
part. If you
part.
Want someone else to watch it, leading with that. We just talked about ways to lead people into things.
Yes.
If you want to get them to watch I Am Legend, saying, hey, that German Shepherd, that loyal man's best friend. Yeah, he dies.
Yeah, he's turned into a
he
zombie
He dies
dog.
And you will cry. Like,
yeah. I had totally wiped that from my memory. I just remember.
Because it's a bad.
It's horrible.
It's a bad memory.
I seriously had. I didn't even think the dog died in the movie until I'm showing it to my children. And then all of a sudden it starts to come back, like right before it happened. And then it's like, oh. And they're still mad at us for when we showed them Bridge to Terabithia because we told them nothing about it.
I'm gonna be honest. When I watched that movie, I thought it was gonna be a very different
film.
Like I thought it was gonna be kind of Narnia-esque. Like
they're
not going through wardrobes into spare room and like there's no lamp. But Mr. Tumnus the Fawn isn't there.
No,
like,
but that kid who was in it, he's been in everything. And of course, I've forgotten his name. Anyway, we digress. A lovely little film.
Matinee or an A-list, it's worth checking out.
And coming up, are we both going to the same show, 7:30?
I potentially. I will see it that night.
You don't have your tickets?
No, I have two sets of tickets. Like because
oh, that's right.
So when I was seeing Shazam, I bought two tickets to it to make sure that I had a ticket to one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
There was potentially somebody that was going to see it with me. They dropped out. So I just picked the show that I wanted to go to. The other individual that I had talked to about watching the movie with, I had said, okay. And they were like, well, this one and this one. And I go, okay, doot-doot. So I'm going to see it at either 7:30 or I think 10 o'clock.
Okay.
It will be one of those. And if I go to the 10 and you go to the 7:30 and you text me what happens, I can promise you, like, this podcast will be the angriest podcast.
I hadn't even thought about
that this station has ever heard. Like, it will set your MP3 player on fire when you download it.
Niedermeyer, dead. Loki, dead.
I'll just be like, no! No! 10 years! 22! Why?
Oh, good times. So we are very excited about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. And I made it clear to the chillins. I said, look, this is not one of those we're going to stroll in during the previews. We have to
rules of engagement.
Yeah.
Like, there will be no talking during the film. You will, if you cannot like completely evacuate your bladder beforehand, you will need to bring an additional bucket. Like,
yes.
If you do not know what is going on, this is not the movie to it. I don't want to say I'll become hostile, but I will become hostile. Like,
yes.
This is 3 hours, and I'm just telling you, like, I will not be distracted. Yeah. Well, it's 3 hours and. Like 2 minutes, 3 hours.
I didn't know that.
Robert Downey Jr. has said like the last 8 minutes are the best in the MCU.
Wow.
I'm assuming he's not meaning the credits, because this is probably going to have a long list of credits.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was expensive. And,
yes. And the end credits. So what that let's say... three of the main actors are not going to renew and be their characters again.
Right.
So, and let's say their characters survive Endgame. What do they do in the end credits? There's not going to be a next one, or are they just going to point you toward the Guardians of the Galaxy movie? Or because, you know.
The next up is Spider-Man Far.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Far From Home?
No, it's in a galaxy far, far away.
I don't think that's the name of it. Though I'd watch that movie. I think that is the next one up. Honestly, I would say if there was going to be one you didn't have a tag at the end, like this is...
Yeah.
I mean, this is the completion
unless,
of the Infinity Saga.
Unless
and
the tag's just going to be a memoriam to Stanley.
This is his final cameo. Like, I'm not going to say that I'm not going to be emotional...
Mm-hmm.
During this film, but even his cameo like in Captain Marvel hit me in a different way, or whenever they kind of like nodded to him in Into the Spider-Verse. Like, I knew this guy had impacted me mm-hmm. like throughout my life and at a very early age, but like especially after, because I knew the guy was in his 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't he was not going to be around for another 100 years.
Imagine what your life would have been like if his parents had never met.
It would have been
so empty.
I don't want to say that somebody else would have done it, because like I mean, with DC, like, you had a bunch of different people creating those characters, but like, and this is no disrespect to anybody else that's created something for Marvel that he didn't have a part of, but really, like, I'm not saying all the good ones, but a lot of your best material, your characters that have stood the test, the icons,
mm-hmm.
they're his.
I'm
just like, he definitely a massive, massive legacy, and certainly one that I think Disney has definitely recognized and made sure that they're just like, hey, respect.
Mm-hmm.
Complete, total, and utter respect.
As well you should. In my mind, I like to picture Stan Lee's frozen head, which I don't know if that exists, but in my mind it does, and it hangs out with Walt Disney's frozen head.
Like, we get Stan Lee's final cameo in a Marvel film, and then later this year, we will get Carrie Fisher's final appearance in Rise of Sky. I'm just saying, like, there's going to be some feels in these movies.
Now, speaking of Carrie Fisher and something mildly amusing, Mark Hamill did an interview on, I think it was Fallon. Mark Hamill does a spot-on Harrison Ford impersonation like I've never heard before.
Yeah. Mark Hamill is a and like, this is not to take away from like his Star Wars legacy, because obviously being Luke Skywalker is whenever he passes into the great beyond, that's probably what's going to lead the news story.
But genuinely, I think his acting talent doesn't shine as much in
his
Star
voice,
Wars movies.
His voice work. Like, his Joker in Batman the Animated Series, he's been cast as Chucky in the new Child's Play. Like, I didn't care one iota about this movie until they told me Mark Hamill is the voice of the new Chucky. And then I'm just like, I'm not saying I'm in, but like, you've got my attention now.
Yeah, he's just, I just wouldn't expect that Luke Skywalker would make a great villain for life.
Oh, yeah. Like, and his Joker, like, no disrespect to, like, Heath Ledger or Jack Nicholson, but it's spectacular.
Yeah.
And he did it. He's done it for years.
What was that movie? Maybe it's a shadowy thing. He was in some other thing.
The shadowy thing?
It's a Mark Hamill. It's a long time ago, but not in a galaxy far, far away. And I truly don't remember the name of the character. But he was not the Joker. He was something else. And obviously, it did not stick with you. It was something that probably should have been a franchise, but wasn't good enough to be. And I want to think that he wore a hat. Might have had a cape. I'm not sure.
I think you had a fever one day, and like you saw a hat, and you wanted a cape, and you had been watching Star Wars, and this was your fever delusion before like it finally like broke.
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh, Auntie M, you were there, and you were there, and Mark Hamill was there. He was wearing a hat and a cape.
I'm going to look that up, but not now.
No,
anyway.
It's his daughter's name.
Look up Mark Hamill doing Harrison Ford because I've never heard the like.
I mean, honest to goodness, like you don't have to because Harrison Ford is alive. But if they need to bring him back
That's
in the Star Wars
thinking.
Movies and Harrison Ford doesn't want to do it, I'm not saying I wouldn't watch them do a sequel to Solo in which Mark Hamill plays a young Harrison Ford.
And just delivers the vocal.
Yeah, like... Listen, you want people to show up to Solo 2? Like,
are they making a Solo 2?
They're not. I can't imagine. Maybe they will take plot threads from it, but like you will not see that iteration of the character return. Han Solo, I think is too much of a property and an IP to completely let it die. But you won't see those characters playing them in that.
I feel bad
anymore.
For that actor who played him, whose name I don't recall.
Ehrenreich
yeah,
or something.
Something very.
And to say nothing of the, I love Billy Dee Williams, and mm-hmm. probably the most excited I got during Rise of Skywalker was seeing him flying the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
But Lando in Solo was spot.
Yeah.
Like to the point that. I almost feel like he should have gotten his own, like Lando Calrissian, obviously let Billy Dee like maybe do some bookends or mm-hmm. like, you know, split it up in the future and the past. But like they nailed that casting in Solo.
They did. And we don't know a lot of what Lando did between being a gambler, having the Millennium Falcon,
we know like
it.
Some of his high points,
yeah.
But there's
and then he's in Cloud City. So there's a lot. There are many stories to be told. Anyway, we could and have gone on at great length about Star Wars, but we're not because we reviewed Little, which is a perfectly fine movie. It has nothing to do with Star Wars. Probably its biggest flaw.
But it's easy to get off on tangents.
Yes, very
about,
much so.
About the war
of, the,
of
star.
The stars.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to PGS. I'm Jay Nellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.